No matter which aspect of this herring fishery you look at, 2016 sets a new record. First date the biomass was spotted coming into the district used to be April 19th. First date spawn was observed. It was April 23rd. Earliest that commercial effort got underway? In 1980 and 2003, harvests were recorded on April 25th. Last week, private pilots flew in with the news that not only were the herring here, but they were already spawning all over the place. Fish and Game Area Management Biologist Tim Sands flew a survey Sunday, documented 37 miles of spawn, and opened the seiners and gill netters to commercial effort by the evening.
It's a real head-scratcher for us as far as much spawn has been reported being seen and where the spawn's happening. But there's clearly enough fish around to spawn all those places, so we opened it up. I know there's a little bit of a storm coming, so that might delay things further. But it's open now, so people can go when they're ready, and we'll just see what happens.
The problem is, neither the fleet nor their buyers are on the fishing grounds yet. Gillnetters like Frank Woods were hoping to leave Dillingham by the end of this week and get over there several days ahead of time.
Frustration. That's all I got to say is everybody's trying to play catch-up right now, and interesting for sure.
Sea surface temperature plays an important role in the timing of the Togiak herring's spring migration to the spawning grounds along the coast. A month ago, the department cautioned stakeholders that the warm sea surface temperatures and low sea ice levels were so far from normal that predicting the run timing would be impossible. Purse Seine skipper Robert Hyeno says the herring are fickle, but no one was expecting this.
You know, they say they're pretty sensitive to water temperature, so I'd have to think that that had a large part to do with it. You know, last year it was fairly warm, but it wasn't really that early. I think we fished on the 29th, so.
Hyeno's fished for Togiak herring since 1978. By and large, this is a month of May fishery. He was hustling his crew for a Sunday afternoon departure from Dillingham for the day-long trip to the grounds, hopeful that his processor was getting its act together quickly, too. Hyeno was a little upset by circumstances he thinks could have been prevented.
I think the big thing that's disappointing is, from what I understand, there's very little or no money that the state has budgeted for this fishery. So the largest, herring fishery in the state of Alaska? That's very disappointing, you know. And then you listen to what they're doing down in Juneau, and they're talking about buying an office building and reluctance to reduce tax credits and things like that, but they can't put a few dollars in a herring fishery.
Fish and Game did cut all funding for Togiak herring management this year, down from about $30,000 last year, which is still way down from a heyday 15 years ago or so. A private industry donation of $10,000 will allow area manager Tim Sands a couple of survey flights. Would he have flown to spot for herring sooner had the funding been there?
You know, based on the sea surface temperature and everything like that, we probably would have considered flying, especially after we heard some reports of seals with fish in their bellies and stuff like that. I guess the short answer is certainly budgetary constraints are a factor in what we're doing.
There aren't many participants in the Togiak herring fishery these days, just 21 seiners and 3 gill netters signed up, expecting a price around $50 a ton. Whether they and their buyers get to the grounds in time to find some mature fish with good roe will get sorted out this week. Most say they'll still try. As one skipper put it, when the going gets weird, the weird get going. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.